Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better.
Hey guys, it's another episode of MI Ice Guys. Steph and I are in the studio. Chad and Anthony are catching up on sleep. They've been out fishing in AIFC.
Long haul back from Montana.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that video that Anthony posted. He did some nice editing on that.
That Chad, turned out real good.
Chad actually is a videographer. Who knew?
Yeah.
And
he was a little fuzzy at first, and he got things focused in, and he was good. So he did a good job.
That's pretty impressive with an autofocus.
And they edited out what they caught it on, so that was good, too. So
yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Anthony and his editing is getting pretty good. He's getting pretty good at that.
He's getting pretty good at it. I'm going to have to talk to him about what he's using.
Have to do some videos for us when he gets back over here. So we'll get him one on the ice, get him one on Reed's Lake, and have him do some videos of us out there crappie fishing and stuff.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Hey, speaking of crappie fishing, Sunday I got into some crappie. They were tricky. Everybody around me is catching little tiny gills, but I got into some crappie, and I got some 12-inchers. Anthony said, no picture, no proof. I got pictures. They're on my 3-foot-long cutting board, and they're well over a third of it.
Nice.
So I don't want to hear no more guff from him.
Just post it out there and give it to him.
Yeah. But then Saturday, you and I were out there, and we were picking away at some gills and an occasional crop.
Yeah.
Had a real nice day.
Yeah, it was our first time out on, my first time out on reeds this year. So it was nice to get out there, and my coworker from work and his daughter came out there to fish. And
yeah, that was fun, seeing them and getting them. I loved that you gave them a little flasher lesson there. You know, guys, if you got a flasher and you really are looking at it and it's just blinky lights to you, do yourself a favor and sit down with somebody. Just, you know, buy them a beer or whatever, you know, get them to explain what they're seeing.
Yeah.
Steph walked them through it. I mean, you were talking, okay, you see that? That's your jig. You see that? That's a fish. And
there's bottom. And then what setting you have it on. Because he had an older FL8, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it took you a minute to remember those settings.
Yep. The 28 has me spoiled.
Spoiled, yeah.
Just tells you the depth. And
But that's the way, guys, is to get a fishing partner or borrow a partner that knows the piece of equipment and can talk you through it. And we can talk on the podcast all day long. I can show you videos and graphics and stuff like that. But until you're interactive and you move the line and see the damn bait move.
Yeah.
You're not going to get it.
And how the fish react to your jigging cadence and motions and such.
You know, and a lot of times, you know, just invite a guy along and most guys I know just love to have somebody to go fishing with. And so that's about the best way to do it. Now, we also got out the weekend before up on Big Whitefish, and Rocky took us to his sweet spot where we won't tell anybody, but it is a long damn walk.
Yeah.
And Rocky was getting them out of there like just over a pound.
Yeah, real nice ones.
Yeah, he had it figured out, and he said, when my smokes are gone, I'm out of here, whether I got my 25 or not. He had one smoke for the walk back. He got his 25, so that was cool.
We were out there on Sunday, and there was a guy in a Jeep Cherokee driving around out there. I mean, there was a good 10 inches of ice, but it isn't all 10 inches.
No. And Whitefish is one of those that has its spots that you really want to. It's like the first lake in our area that you always hear somebody plunking something through. This year, Murray won with a guy that plunked his airplane through. But speaking of plunking through, guys, this rain that we're having and the warm weather and stuff.
Yeah, this little warm-up here is really...
We're back to early ice conditions. You got to get the spud back out. You got to get the rescue rope back out. You got to put the spare clothes back in the truck.
Get the ice cutulas on because you're going to need them.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be slicker than all get out there.
Well, I noticed that when, you know, we had a little rain midweek last week, and when we got out on reeds, it was glare clear. It was amazing. Now, the freaky,
some spots you could see right through. I mean, it was just like you're walking on glass.
Oh, when I started getting those crappie, those big slabbers, that, you know, how they circle the hole when they're coming up, I find myself watching. My head's bobbling around. I'm like, hey, focus on reeling here, dumbass. And, you know, but it was so cool to see the fish through the ice that you're catching and bringing up. It was just an amazing adventure.
And another thing to remember when you're fishing clear ice like that is if the ice is a little bit wet, you can just set the transducer right on the ice, and it shoots right through it perfectly. You don't have to worry about getting your fish tangled up around your deucer then, so your deucer is just sitting up on the ice.
Yeah.
Now, giving you all the same information.
Now, you did it on Saturday, and I caught on, and Sunday I did it. Drilling the second hole.
Oh, yeah.
We got power drills, okay? And so drilling a hole for your transducer and a hole to fish out of, it's no big whoop. And a lot less tangling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, guys, also another piece of advice for you is check your transducer length. You don't need that thing, but just below the ice.
Yep.
You don't need it hanging down 2 feet where everything's going to catch on it. So mind your deucer, as we like to say.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was mentioning, we are going to be entering back into like first ice.
Yes.
And safety's going to be there. The Cthulhas or whatever spikes, if you got some K&Es, put on your spikes and be safe. We were talking to a couple old guys, and we're all wearing spikes out there, and we watched some kids come out. They're about 20-some years old, and they went boom, down they went. And I don't like doing that anymore.
Mm-mm.
You know? No,
you don't recover as quick.
No, man, it takes a lot of beer to get that pain away when you get back to the couch.
Mm-hmm. Another thing you want to watch for is all the feeder streams and everything like that coming into that lake is going to open up areas. It's going to make very thin spots.
And if you're fishing urban like we are, storm drains, big parking lots.
The shoreline. That water ice is going to go first, too. So that always happens on a warm-up.
Parking lot water, the water running off that parking lot is going to be a lot warmer because it's a black parking lot. And it's going to hit, and it's going to deteriorate stuff. So you guys got to be extra careful as you get out there. I know there's guys out fishing today. It's been raining for 2 days, but
we still got quite a bit of snow up north up by Howard Tucky ways.
Yeah.
But we took a lot of rain.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing that I found this past weekend is, you know, I was fishing with spikes. I was fishing with plastic. And I had to keep alternating around. A guy 8 feet from me stayed on plastic all day, and he was doing it. Now, he liked to talk, but he wasn't very descriptive about what he had. He's babbling about things. He says, it's a green one. He shows it to me. It's chartreuse.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tried different shapes, and that's one thing to try. You know, a lot of you that have been to our recent seminars have seen Steph and I's plastic collection, what we carry in our coats anyway. And there's a lot of different shapes that are available out there. Were plastics, there's a lot of different colors, and just like a lot of different jigs and different days with different jigs work better,
having
a variety is your best friend for catching fish.
Yeah, you're going to get different action with those different plastics, with the whip tails versus the ball tails. There's some out there that kind of got a paddle tail on them, or like the Twister, Mr. Twister, little grub tail.
I got those big crappie going on the Mr. Twister
nice
tail on there, and it was a translucent chartreuse. Those were a good find. I got a good deal on those. But having
a
variety,
couple of them.
Yeah. Having a variety of baits is very advantageous when you're getting out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another piece of advice for you that I forgot and almost had a disaster is when you come back in and put your coat inside, put your bait puck back in the fridge.
No. Correction. Put my bait puck
back
in the
bait.
Fridge.
I got to find mine. Where are they? You see them
down,
on the shelf?
Down two to Chaz now.
Yeah. Well, there's one in the fridge here at the brewery, and there's one at the fridge
home. What other important lesson did you learn on Saturday?
Oh, I learned a lot of lessons. Oh, yeah, my battery.
Your battery.
Guys, you know, I wrote the article about getting a new battery. Did I get a new battery? No.
Did you bring a backup?
No. So we had an issue with that. I went out on the ice, and that thing was reading 100%. And less than 2 hours later,
gone. It's like,
but
man.
You can see right down the table.
Hey,
I have two brand new batteries,
two new ones, and the other one's been recycled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The other two have been recycled.
Other two?
They're gone.
Yeah. Sweet.
And I don't have to carry that big monster 12 amp anymore. Yeah, that's a big advantage. With that. So guys, check your battery life on those things. It's kind of embarrassing when you're only half a bucket and you're not ready to be done fishing, but your flasher goes done.
Fishing in the dark.
Fishing in
old
the dark.
School.
Old school. And that's tough when you're over suspended fish.
Yeah. Or at least I got the depth down on mine, so I could bounce around, and I knew what depth I had to go down to, so I was still catching. So it was.
Yeah, there's some tricks to that stuff, but check your batteries, guys. Now, some of the other guys I've talked to, Myron was telling me that down around Jackson, he's still fishing. He was going fishing today.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, he's got 3.5-4 inches still. It's wet, but he's out there fishing. He says he was going to get some practice going. And the old man was going to get out there and play the palm rod a little bit. He had to get warmed up and loosen up his palm rod hand for Latvia. So...
Yeah, there's no Metagoshi gills out there in Latvia.
No. Now he's worried about the Knutson tournament, the Midwest Open.
Oh yeah,
they're getting iffy on whether that they're going to be able to hold that this year.
What day is that one this year?
I think that's on the 28th.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's so could be sketchy.
Could be sketchy. Yeah. Now my friend Troy was down in Michigan Center. He wanted to have us down to fish this weekend, and he's declared no joy. He's lost his Michigan Center Lake's kind of a shallow lake.
Okay.
So it lost it, and it's just houses, you know, door to door all the way around. So he lost the edges the other day, and he says it's just not going to, and it's supposed to be 50 something here.
Yeah.
Christ, they might be putting on tanning lotion down there. It's wild. But guys, wherever you are, I hope that you're finding some ice. It's time to start using the ice map again, putting out where there's safe ice, where you can get out on ice, things like that. Help a brother out and or a sister getting out there fishing and stuff. And always, always remember, teaching the next generation is a very important thing. Just like Scott was talking in the interview, which you guys are going to hear in a bit, getting another generation going. Uncle Myron, he's so great. He's a grandfather. His granddaughter's whipping guys in the tournaments now. I wonder if she qualified for Knutson's. That would be outstanding. Awesome. But we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back and talk a little more with the MI Ice Guys, podcasting on hard water in the Great Lakes State.
Hey, when I'm heading out fishing, I want to grab me a couple of beers. I like to have top off one, and my choice is Schmoe's. Bone Crusher, Treasure Chest, Hop Knocker if you dare. Amber Tees, IPA, and Pale Ale. Grab the Brewer's Six. It'll do you well out on the ice, and you can even share with your pals. So stop by your local bottle shop and grab some Schmoe's. See you out there on the ice, guys. Drive safe. Hey, remember to stop on out to miiceguys.com and report the ice thickness where you're fishing. Help us all out in knowing where there's safe ice. Check out the map online at miiceguys.com.
Hey, we're the MI Ice Guys, and we're back. We've got a special feature today. We mentioned that Chad and Anthony, they've been off doing the NAIFC tournament. They've been out to...
North Dakota.
Yeah.
Metagoshi,
catching the big dinner plate-sized bluegills.
Monster gills. Now they're spoiled the rest of the year.
Yeah. Hey, if you guys didn't see the video that's out there on Facebook of that with one of their buddies taking off his shirt so he didn't get his clothes wet and reaching down a hole at negative 20. It was nuts. And then they were off to Montana. What's the name of the lake out there? Is that Hebigan?
Hegman Lake.
Hegman?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're out there catching rainbows.
Yeah, West Yellowstone area.
And I saw the standings, and they've got 2 top 10 finishes, which put them in second place in the NIFC. It was very interesting to see that the Montana tournament, they were the only Midwest team. Everybody else was Montana and Utah. For that, and Idaho, I think I saw some Colorado and such, but no Wisconsin boys, no Minnesota boys, and there's our 2 MI Ice guys out there showing how it's done. Anthony posted a really cool video of that.
With the trout catching it through the ice.
Catching the trout through the long pole. It was awesome, and he started out going, whoo, it's so hot, you know, because it was up to, like, what was it, 5 degrees?
Heat wave compared to where they were at.
Yeah. But they drove all straight through, it sounds like, and got home wee early this morning, so I was able to catch Chad. And we're going to cut over to an interview I did with him a little bit earlier today on the phone. So it's going to be a little bit different quality because we're using the cell phones, and I'm not sure he was quite awake. So here we go with that.
Hey, guys, another special treat. I've got Chad Schaub on the phone, one of our MI Ice guys. He's been out on the road working the tournament series, and he's headed to Latvia to practice, too. Chad, are you getting excited for the trip?
I was definitely a little more excited, but we got some bad news yesterday that we might not be able to actually compete in their tournament. So
well,
trying to figure all that out right now.
Yeah. Well, at least you'll get on the right water. That can be very helpful in learning and such. And I know that we've got some really good people that are going to be supporting you guys when you're over there on your research trip. Have we heard any more about who's going to be able to support us?
As far we're as not real sure. Teaching? What'd you say?
As far as teaching and showing us the tricks?
Norman's is going to be training us while we're over there, so that'll be real helpful. He's like their head trainer, and he's a feeder champion and an ice champion, so, I mean, he's a multiple division gold medalist.
That's awesome. That's awesome. The thing I wanted to ask you about is what are you taking as far as equipment? So are you taking a GoPro so that you can stuff?
I'm not sure if I'm going to pick up a GoPro yet or not. I've been talking about it for a while. I need to buy one and bring it with me, but
I got one
sure. Yeah, we're going to have, you know, probably a couple guys will have Oculus or the new Markham camera, and we'll be doing some footage and, you know, could go live on our phones or something. I hear they got good internet service, too.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I know all us support guys are eager to get the information when you get back and find out what you learned.
Yep.
I think this could really give us
helpful,
this could be our good year.
Yeah.
We're hoping for that.
Yep. We should hear something today or tomorrow on their decision on the fishing.
Oh, okay.
They just announced that yesterday.
Yeah, that's kind of squirrely that they're back and forth on it. I guess maybe we're spooking them a little bit.
Well, I don't know what's going on. If it's a fisherman named, what happened? You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I trust it's going to be a very interesting trip. You guys, we've never got to do this before, to send anglers over prior and get to fish in the same country that we're going to compete in, let alone on the same body of water. So it's going to be a huge educational advantage, I think, for our team.
And, yep, it'll definitely help.
Yeah. So do you guys know where you're staying?
We're going to be staying in the same hotel that we'll be at, you know, when we're there for the actual competition.
Oh, good. You guys will have it scooped out. That's awesome.
Yep.
Check out the neighborhood and stuff. I still want to do fish fry when we're over there in February. I think that would be just absolutely awesome to show them the way we cook fish and kind of share, you know, a little parking lot party or something. So maybe you can do some research and figure out and get some gear when we're there to do that. Somebody.
Well, yeah, we're gonna be touring some fishing shops and the Salmo headquarters, and we'll be all over and see what we got to deal with before everybody gets there.
Awesome. That's gonna be a huge opportunity there. Where are you guys flying out of? You guys going out of Chicago?
Yep, we're going out of Chicago Saturday or Sunday. I think we leave about 6:00.
Awesome. That'll be just a huge trip. I look forward to you popping some posts out there. You know, you're not going to have your media personality, Anthony, with you, so you're going to have to do a little posting yourself.
Yeah, I'll have to do a little bit of posting, some video or something.
Yeah, because, you know, all of us back on the team that are not going on this first trip are just anxious for information, as well as all of our podcast listeners want some feedback of what's going on over there. So pop me out some stuff I can put up on MA Ice Guys and might do a little podcast while you're gone, too. Maybe we'll get Anthony to come out for sushi and stuff.
Yep. He's been talking about it, so sounds good.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, you get rested up, say hi to the family for me, and have an awesome but safe trip over there, and
okay.
I'll see you when you get back, brother.
Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Guys, when you're out on the ice, do you protect your eyes? The MI Ice Guys have partnered with Costa Del Mar Sunglasses. Made in America, made by hand. The thinnest glass technology for sunglasses. 100% UV protection. We love our Costas so much, we took them to Finland, to the Worlds. They allowed us to see where other people had been drilling before, protected our eyes in the blowing snow, and kept us looking good on the ice. Made in America, Costa Del Mar Sunglasses. Get them online, get them at a local retailer near you. Remember, tell them the MI Ice Guys sent you, and you need the best. Have you ever wanted a great craft beer but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA. Guys, we're back, and we've got another special guest. It's kind of like a phone-it-in show. One of our best buddies on the team, Uncle Myron. Everybody loves Uncle Myron.
Yep.
He kind of acts as a mentor to us. He looks like the best grandpa you could ever have, and it must be because he's got a charter fishing company, and his granddaughter whoops up on people fishing.
He's taught her well.
His son is a competitor as well in a lot of tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember back when we were in Finland, I got an interview with Myron when we were over there, and we're just going to, you know, cut it over to Myron on the phone here, and I recorded that this morning, and he was getting ready to go fishing, so he had a lot to say, but Myron is never short on words.
Oh, no.
Well, guys, we got a special guest on the air with us today, a call-in guest, my buddy Myron. We're going to get him in a few minutes here. While he's headed to the lake, he's going to get some practice in. Now, for those of you that don't know about Myron, Myron is a charter captain in the warm weather. In the springs, he fishes on the east side of the state, pulling in walleye, and all kinds of my friends just worship job that he does out there. And then on the later summer, he heads to Ludington and whoops ass on salmon out there and shows everybody a great time. And if you guys want to find Myron, just get out on Facebook and look on the USA Ice Team page, and you'll find Myron, and you can get a hold of him right there, and maybe he can go fishing with you someday too. But anyway, Myron, we're getting ready to go to Latvia this year. Now you get to go early.
Yep, looking forward to that, Chaz. They've got to set up for an opportunity that, like we've never had before, to get to go a month early and fish. We were supposed to fish in there right in their national championships, and I think they're scared of us Americans a little bit.
Yeah.
So I've heard some rumors, but we're going to get to fish on the exact lake and around. We're going to be fishing 1 month later, which will be a huge advantage for us because we've always struggled with that. This will really help us, so we'll be really prepared when we head back here in a month, you know, 3 weeks to a month.
That's going to be awesome, Myron. I know that, you know, we went to Ukraine last year with a plan of having some extra days to fish to really do the learning thing, and the weather did not cooperate. But this year, I think that you guys getting to go a month early and do some research, do some learning, is just a huge opportunity. Now, are you, you going to take some electronics with you so that we can get a load on some things?
I'm hoping so, but we also have to work into the spirit of things, you know what I mean? You know how electronics and American hands scare the pants right off of them, you know? So
yeah,
we'll have to play that by ear when we get over there, Chad. But just getting on the same water, seeing what kind of fish we're fishing for, seeing what all the patterns, you know, depths, and, you know, seeing where the fish holding, whether they're out on flats or are they on structure, or, you know, we get several types of lakes that we fish, you know. It's just like here in the United States, some of the lakes are bay fish, you know, where you fish them in the deep waters, and that's where they are in the wintertime. And some lakes are up in the weeds and around the structure. Every lake's different. I've seen, you know, lakes that are connected. One of them will be a basin lake, and then just down a ways, it'll be one that's weed-orientated. So I don't know how to pick. So we just go and see whatever they give us. You know, that's how fishing goes.
Yeah, this is going to be such an opportunity. I've been keeping up on in our little secret group where we chat about things with the world that we're going to have maybe some celebrities from Latvia that are going to be helping out and giving us some lowdown.
Absolutely. We're going to have some, we got some good fishermen going to be helping us out over there. I can't wait to get over there and fish. And the Latvians have traditionally been a real powerhouse team, you know, and to get to compete with them on their home water and watch their national championships will be so informative. I was saying, even if we didn't fish right in the zones with them, the opportunity to be able to walk around and watch them fish will be, we can't even put a price on that. You know, these guys are going to be letting everything hang out. They're trying to make a team here, so there ain't going to be no secrets, you know what I mean? You're going to be able to see what's going on. You know how it is when you're at the World Championships, there's always the po' faces and, you know, and all the stuff, and everybody's trying to keep their stuff secret till right at game time, you know. This is going to be an opportunity like we've never had before. And, you know, you mentioned last year in the Ukraine, we'd set up extra days and all that. And the good Lord got in our way and gave us all that sit on ice in hot weather. So I'm hoping this all works out good for us, and I can't see where it can't help. I can't see that.
No, I think it's going to be a huge advantage to the team and, you know, being able to do it. So just don't scare them too much while you're over there on that.
No, don't kind of lay back. Even if I was fishing right in with them, I didn't care how good I went. I do against them in this head-to-head competition because this don't matter to us. And for me, you know, it's so important for us to see what's going on over there. You know, I just can't wait to tell you the truth.
Oh, my God. I'm going to be, like, quizzing you guys so much when you get back. And I saw the comments that a lot of the other support guys like me are, we're just chomping at the bit for the information. You know, we've been information starved for a couple of years, and this is going to be so huge for us. Even the baiting, you know, we've talked and talked about baiting and to see it firsthand, and hopefully you guys get the opportunity to mix bait with those guys.
Seeing the chum that they use, just being able to see what kind they're using, you know, because they're not going to keep it any secret. Be able to see if it's the dark chum or the blonde or, you know, what works best in that water. You know, some of it's personal preference too. We've seen some of these countries, they all have their magic potion. And you know what's amazing is when we go overseas is this chumming and baiting thing. You know, come from here where the U.S. we cut a hole, throw our baits down and fish. Over there, you already seen the complete contrasting styles. They would no sooner fish down a hole without chumming it for a man in the moon. You know, they got to throw something down the hole.
Exactly.
But it's so successful over there, you can't fight it, you know. So when you go over there, you kind of learn some stuff, you know. And we can apply a lot of the stuff we know, too. We've got a lot of experience on the team with Chad and Nick and all the guys, you know, have numerous tangling with these guys. I think we're well set. We got a couple of young studs coming along here. You know, we got Kevin and, oh, my gosh, and Lawrence. And, you know, we got some guys from Platt get it done. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. It's just an experience that, you know, listen to my podcast, and they come up to me when I do seminars, and I know you do them too. They're just floored by how different it is and how we have to go over and adapt to their style. And I know that in the early years, a lot of the guys marched right over there thinking they were big shit and going to take our style and show them how it worked over there and got their ass handed. You know, even, you know, I know you were a little resistant at times, and I know you keep a schoolie in there all the time, ready to go.
Well, it depends on the situation. You know, I still ain't above using that, but schoolie took me in good stead when we were in the Ukraine the last time, because all of a sudden we got in a situation where we're fishing in 30-some foot of water, which is abnormal for the World Championship. It's usually 10 to 20, 15, which is perfect palm rod fishing, you know, and I want to match up the equipment that works the best for the situation we're in. I don't care what kind of discipline or what kind of equipment we're using, but I want the most effective and the fastest that we got for what we're faced with. And for me, using that deep water, I was able to put it on the reel and not tangle up and everything. I was able to use one fishing pole through the whole three-hour heat, whereas a lot of the Europeans in that deep water were throwing, they were going through 10, 12 rods and reels, you know, tangle up, bust off, and that's time also, you know. So, but time is of the essence. They have it down. A lot of people don't give them Europeans respect, you know, for their fishing ability, but I'm telling you, they're some of the best in the world, period, when you go tangling with them. You know, you got to give respect for them guys. It's unbelievable. I've learned so much from them. I can't say enough. In fact, some of the stuff I learned from them, I just applied in North Dakota, winning a tournament there.
Yeah, congratulations, Matt.
Fortunate there, you know, but that's American style with graphs and everything. But a lot of the stuff I learned from them, I apply here still. It you know, it really helps me. Really helps.
Yeah, it's been a huge experience for me. And some of those Europeans, you know, I get assigned once in a while from the team to just go off and watch a guy for a while. And it's just amazing to see the techniques that they use. And then I've even brought them home or two. So that's really great to hear. Now, I've got an assignment for you when you go over there and when you find drinking buddies and everything. Steph and I got an idea that when we go over in February, we want to do a fish fry with the guys, because I've been looking at the pictures of some of them perch. I think we bring home some perch back to the hotel and get off the side there, wish them off, clean them, and then we're going to beer batter them. So we need to get somebody that's going to hook us up with some equipment.
Guys, that was Uncle Myron on the phone there, and it's awesome to fish with him, learn from him, and see the great stuff that he does. He's fishes with his grandkids. His granddaughter has whooped up on some guys that think that they're all that and even more. So If you like what you're hearing there, get on to usaiceteam.org and check out some pictures, check out some stuff, grab some merch. We got some great deals on that out there as well. We're the MI Ice Guys. We're going to be right back after this.
Hey, guys. Chaz here from the MI Ice Guys. I want to talk to you about K&E Stopper Lures, especially the Scandia line of tungsten jigs. I've been having a great time fishing with these this year and last year. The new colors are awesome. Check them out. Get out there to your local sporting goods shop and look for that blue packaging with yellow text on it. Pick up a Scandia lure or 10. It's a whole lot of fun to fish with. They're bright, they're durable, and good stuff.
Guys, we're back. It's the MI Ice Guys. Steph broke it to me that he had did the measurements, did the research. Right. He even has a picture that we're going to post.
I sent the recipe for the deep-fried fish.
Beer batter.
Beer batter.
And
oh, yeah.
This is the stuff that we cooked for the people on the Travel Channel.
Mm-hmm.
They went nuts. It was awesome stuff. But you can look forward to that to being added to the website in the next coming days. And we will get the word out there to all of you so that you can try this beer batter yourselves.
Making up my own dry batter mix, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I picked up some corn flour, so I'm going to do some measurements on that one. And rather than just like I always do, just throw it together, measure what I put in it so we can get some duplication out there and people can tweak it to their own fancy when they want to. Yeah. So
I put my dry dredge out there. I measured it up, so it's up on the site.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of here on the call-in show, I was able to get our fellow spotter Scott Albright on. And Scott, he's known as the ice pro from Ohio. I asked him if he had ice. He says it's iffy.
Yeah, I bet it is.
But Scott's a very, very exuberant guy.
Oh, yeah. He loves ice fishing.
Loves ice fishing. He drives all over. He'll drive over.
He drove clear up to Trufant to fish with us.
Yeah, he drove Trufant. He drives to Rhinelander for tryouts every year.
So we get some good ice on a free weekend. We'll invite him up again.
Yeah, I think it's going to be his third year going to tryouts, and he's getting better. He's, you know, the European style is tricky. You heard that in the interview with Myron that it's a different thing. And it's, something you got to really see and learn and practice with guys that know how to do it. And then you can get good and show that you got the stuff. Now, if you guys think you have the stuff, you can go on over and get some details at usaiceteam.org. And we just looked, and it's March 16th through the 19th. Are the tryouts this year. If you think you got what it takes to join us out on the ice and travel the world representing the USA in pursuit of the gold. But we're going to hear from Scott right now, so hold on and pay close attention. He goes.
Hey, guys, live on the line. I got Scott from Ohio, the ice pro from Ohio. How you doing, Scott?
I am doing excellent. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, awesome, man. Well, Scott's one of the other support guys. He's acts as a spotter with me on USA Ice, and we're getting excited about going to Latvia. Coming up, it's like in a month. We're leaving.
It's good, exactly a month, which is really, really exciting. And are you ready?
I'm ready. I've been buying a few things and getting some things around. I got my order of little American flag pins in the other day, so I'm excited about that.
Nice. They love the American flag pins, man. We learned that in Ukraine. And,
yeah, good trading stuff.
This is definitely your is this your third or fourth trip overseas?
This is going to be my third overseas with the team. It's a great pleasure. I've been Finland, Ukraine, and now we're going to Latvia. It's awesome.
That's going to be awesome, man.
Yeah. So have you picked up any new tricks you're ready to show us when you get over there?
You know, I've been working on mobility and flexibility. I don't know if you found this out yourself in Finland, but going to Ukraine my first time last year, I found that with practicing with the team, you know, getting down and palm rodding, it takes a lot of physical ability. You have to be flexible, and then just getting down the zone in a way that's efficient. You have to be fast. You have to be able to be able to sprint from one side to the other and not get too winded because you still have to communicate with your angler. So it's more of an endurance sport than you'd probably ever think ice fishing is. So that's what I've been working on in the off season, as well as building the brand in Ohio and getting people excited about ice fishing in Ohio.
That's awesome. Now, you guys got ice?
You know, we do. We had this warm spell come through, which doesn't help the local retailers who, you know, get on board to sell some of the things that help people onto the ice. And but the good news is we get to talk about ice safety a lot in seasons like the one we're having right now. How about you guys? Up in Michigan, you guys fishing?
Yeah, we're still fishing. It's getting a little iffy on some of the lakes, but we're still fishing today. Awesome. I talked to some of the other guys, and north of Grand Rapids, we're doing pretty good on ice still. Okay. South of Grand Rapids, it's getting iffy.
I'm driving through Indiana right now. I'm looking at ponds, and you know, the edges have pretty much melted completely away. So, you know, this is a good year to remind the newbies that are coming on board. Which, by the way, I don't know if you've seen this in Michigan. There is a ton of new entries into ice fishing. I think it's great, and we can just remind them about the ice fishing safety and really what that's all about. We were in Ukraine, and there was definitely some ice conditions that we could use as an example of what maybe not to do, or at least talk about ice safety that way as well.
Yeah, that ice over there was horrifying. You know, if I had my choice, I would have gone to the bar instead. But it's you know, we had to get out there and stand for the country, and we gave it our best in really less than ideal conditions.
I don't know about you, man. I love ice fishing for a couple of reasons, and I think that the number one reason that I love ice fishing is there is a little bit of suspense when you take a step out onto open water, and you know you're standing on 10, 20 feet of water. Walking on water is pretty cool. There's that risk element that gets your adrenaline pumping. So, you know, it is an unsafe sport, guaranteed, and this is definitely one of those things that we'll talk about in Ohio every time that we do seminars and that kind of stuff. And this podcast as well.
Yeah, we press safety a lot on the show. Now, when we're going over there to Latvia, you know, we all kind of pair up with a specific angler, and then last year, Steph and I, we kind of got to be the extra eyes that kind of gave, you know, so that guys like you didn't have to clear around a zone to get around and stuff. This year we're going to be a little different mix, I guess, from what I'm hearing, that we're going to have only 5 sets of eyes out there.
Yeah, it's going to be great because we're going to rely on each other to explain what's happening in zone A. Let's say you're in zone E, and zone A, they're catching them in the shallows, right? And let's say that kind of runs through B, C, D, and now I'm on zone E, and that those shallows are actually in the opposite corner. Those are the things that I think we found out in Ukraine by having guys out in the trees. That, you know, bringing your walkie-talkies. You guys had a special kind of walkie-talkie that we use in Ukraine. Using those in Latvia, I think, is going to be the key to be able to continue that communication across the zone.
Yeah, we've actually gone to using them here in Michigan when we go out, you know, so you don't have to yell across the ice. They've become very, very handy when we're out there. And, you know, there's days, especially in a tournament, you don't want everybody to know what's going on with your finding.
Yeah.
Being able to communicate quietly is a huge asset for us. And those radios are sitting next to me right now. I got them all charged up. We're going to pack them up fairly soon and get them ready to go with us to Latvia.
I was also impressed by your use of the depth finding reels. You guys had counter reels that had heavy weights attached to them to be able to help us out in our training to measure the zones that we were fishing in. That was a pretty neat trick that you guys pulled off. What kind of new tricks do you have for Latvia? You guys
well, we've got
those counter reels.
We've got what we're going to utilize is a little bit better mapping techniques. We've got some things where we're going to be marking some holes uniquely. And that's one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, every hole looks the same. So you have to do something to make it look different. And one of the things that we found kind of by accident in Ukraine was if you drill 3 holes in a pattern or 4 holes in a pattern right close to each other and make notes of that, you actually have a real good marker on the ice that corresponds to your paper map where you're taking notes. For those of you that are listening, you have to understand that we're not using any electronics. And a lot of these locations where we're at, we don't have depth maps. Here in Michigan and probably there in Ohio, we rely fairly heavily on things like Navionics and other tools to show us what the bottom contour looks like. Well, when we're overseas, we don't always have that advantage. So we do mapping by drilling a hole, lowering down a line, and measuring. And prior to last year, everybody was doing silly things like tying a knot every foot or every 3 feet or whatever in a feeder reel and loading that down. We found that to be very inaccurate. So Steph and I built up a counter line, you know, just got a Great Lakes counter reel, and we utilized that. We zeroed it at the ice and then lower down the weight down and take a reading that way. And we got much more accurate maps that way. Now, it would have really helped if they hadn't moved the zones.
You know, I think last year we got our fishing butt kicked a little bit. You know, we beat Norway. That was awesome.
So, yep.
But I'm really, really excited about the partnership with Latvia. I was kind of disappointed by, you know, how Ukraine ended up. What about you, man? Like, where do you think we're going to end up at the end of this World Licensing Championship?
Yeah, you mentioned that the partnership with Latvia and training that the guys are getting to go. They're leaving Sunday to go over and start practicing. They're going to get, I think they were there 5-6 days. And they're going to practice on the actual lake that we get to fish. And that's an advantage that the Americans have never had before, where other countries may be able to just drive over and fish that lake. We've never, you know, we got to fly over. And we have hosts from Latvia that are going to be taking us out on that lake, giving us some clues. Because I think the Latvians want to make sure that the Americans scare the hell out of some of the other teams.
Like Ukraine.
Yeah, they're like, okay, you know, the Americans got some skills and stuff, but they don't get the opportunities that these local countries do. So
they say we're the best at hooking fish that they've seen. You know, we can if we get on the fish, we're the best at putting the hook in the mouth on that ice. It's just a matter of getting the zone right. And I believe a lot of these teams they've got maps ahead of time, and so we're kind of left out in left field when it comes to that, or they're using a different type of ground bait than we are. There's always something that they're keeping from America, so I'm about, you know, having everything be even, like we do when we do the tryouts in Rhineland. Or, you know, a lot of people are intimidated by the tryouts, and someone who did it for the first time 3 years ago, I gotta tell you guys, you know, these guys, they want a level playing field. They don't want to have an advantage over you. When you come out the try out, they're going to give you, you know, whatever it takes to be able to keep that part of the competition even, so that it's just pure fishing skill against pure fishing skill, and it's not because someone's got a rod or a line or something that's a little bit yours.
Oh yeah, and for those that are listening, if you're interested, if you think you got the stuff, you think you're a good ice fisherman, you should get on usaiceteam.org and click on the link there that talks about the tryouts, get the details, and come to Rhinelander and see if you got the stuff to fish with the best. There's drills and a lot of things that go on, drilling holes, catching fish, to running around and everything that you get judged on to see if you get an invitation to be on the team. So, hey, Scott, it's been great talking with you.
Thanks for having me on your podcast, man. This is awesome.
Stay nice in Ohio, and I guess a month from today, I will see you in O'Hare, and we will get together and debrief the guys that got to go early and set off on our adventure.
Woohoo! Sounds good, man. Go USA!
How would you like your business to be part of MI Ice Guys? We're always looking for sponsors to help us pay the bills, get us out there on the ice a little more, and get you the exposure you need. Whether your business is related to ice fishing, or you just think that ice fishermen would like to know about you, drop us a line at report@miiceguys.com, and we'll get you in contact with the right people to see what we can do to work together. Once again, that's miiceguys.com, and you can contact us there at any time.
Guys, say it's been a wild show. The three call-ins, that's a new record for us.
Yeah.
And sorry about the quality, guys, but I had some equipment failures, and I had to go to an app on my phone to record those. But there's new equipment on order to get higher quality gum in the next time.
We'll tweak it and get it working.
Yeah. But as Steph mentioned, content over quality.
Yes.
So hopefully you got some good stuff out of that. And we're looking forward to talking to some more of the team members before we go. We're going to record at least one more, and we'll be back here soon with probably some more recipes, too.
Yeah. Before we head on Worlds, we'll definitely touch base with everybody. And
oh, I just had an epiphany. Mm-hmm. Burritos. Mm-hmm. Crappie burritos. We got to put Anthony.
Have to work on a recipe.
Get our Mexican working on that.
Yes. Anthony.
All right, guys. Hey, be safe out on the ice. It is getting a little iffy, and we're going to be in new ice conditions again. So
that is crappie quesadillas.
Now I'm hungry.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to put a recipe up for crappie quesadillas. I got enough crappies at home. I can do that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The slabbers I got the other day.
Oh, yeah.
I put them in a separate bag. I know which ones they are. Oh, yeah. Big fillets. Hey, if you guys got a recipe, hey, feel free to shoot that over to us. You can get a hold of us through the site with Ask an Ice Guy, and at all times, ask us questions. We love to answer questions. It gives us something to talk about on the podcast.
Yeah, shoot us an email out there. And
some days you get one answer, some days you get four.
Hey.
It's kind of wild. We do have some seminars coming up on the 25th of January. I think it's the 25th. You can check our website, be sure. But we're going to be out at Fruitport. West Michigan Ice Fishing Seminars. We'll have it up on Facebook for sure. I know I posted it there, and I'll repost it again. And that'll be our last seminar before we go to Worlds in Latvia. And then when we get back, we're going to do a recap at the West Michigan Walleye Chapter. So the Walleye Club is going to have us out there, and that one's going to be just a recap of the Worlds. We're going to tell stories, share pictures, and all that wild stuff. So check out the website. Check out the Facebook. There's a lot of information out there, and be safe out there, guys.
MI Ice Guys would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on miiceguys.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys. Enjoy the fishing. It may thaw soon.